everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary on this Labor Day weekend, as well as those of you online. We are just having a glorious experience. I hope that you are having a good time with family and friends. Anyone have any special plans for Labor Day weekend, for Labor Day tomorrow? I know that some are already, you know, at the lake, probably joining us online even right now. Hello, all of our lake friends. And or some are, you know, traveling. We know that's going to be happening. Lots of fun to do around town here, as well as around the state. You know, it's probably not too late to go and float the river, the Illinois River, if you wanted to do that. Or, hey, tomorrow is the great raft race out on the Arkansas River right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's something you could take in. I understand that Henrietta, Oklahoma, has one of the great Labor Day parades. They have a huge parade and then a rodeo as well. Have you ever been to a parade on Labor Day? Anybody ever had the occasion of a parade on Labor Day? A few of you have. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Kansas, we always traveled 20 miles away to Hoisington, 20 miles to the north, the Hoisington Labor Day Parade. Now, there was a little bit of everything in that parade, especially if you were a little kid. I mean, they had these brand new tractors that would come rumbling down the street, and that was impressive. And then they had these marching bands from area high schools, and I was always fascinated by that. There were new pickup trucks that were just big wheels, and you'd see that kind of thing. There were also, floats of all kinds of businesses, things in the community. There were all kinds of cars as well. There were vintage cars, you know, old cars that you might see way back when. And then there were, you know, muscle cars that high school guys would get said, I'm going to be in the parade. We're going to rumble it coming down. And so there's those kind of cars. Then there were the convertibles. You know, there were the convertibles, and there were all these queens. I never knew there were so many queens that you could figure, you know, there's queen of this and queen of that. There were politicians, you know, waving. The thing about it for a young kid that I really like, too, is about every one of those floats, somebody's throwing candy, man. You're throwing candy. You could come out of that parade just set for weeks. And so, you know, I loved it. The other thing, pretty fascinating thing, I don't know if this happened in places that you saw, but when I was growing up, there were these group called the Shriners. And these were guys that had these little hats, and they rode around on these little mini bike motorcycles. And man, they were just going all over the place through the parade. I never quite figured out exactly why they were doing what they were doing, but they were having fun doing it. I'm telling you, the Shriners. And so I Googled it. I said, I wonder what's going on this weekend. Sure enough, Hoisington, Kansas, since 1896, for 122 years in a row now, the Hoisington Labor Day Parade. That is a rich tradition. And my guess is what goes on in Henrietta, because I've heard that's a pretty big deal. My guess is maybe they started back then too. So earlier this week, I decided, you know, I'm gonna try to understand, you know, what is some of the background of Labor Day weekend? Why this holiday? I learned that Labor Day was established as a federal holiday 1894 to celebrate American workers. It was established by Congress after a time of unrest to celebrate the economic and social contributions American workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. It was suggested that observance and celebration should include a parade to exhibit the strength and spirit of trade and labor organizations in the community, followed by a festival for recreation and amusement of workers and their families. And so as I read about that, I realized, you know, I'm guessing long time ago in Hoisington, Kansas, they said, you know what? We need to do this. And that's what they've been doing since 1896 for all of these 122 years. Now, it seems to me that, you know, we probably have lost a little bit of the original focus of Labor Day celebration. It's today more about, you know, food and family, and you know, it's the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall, it's the beginning of the football season. It's a great shopping holiday, I know about that. But there has been, for all of that, there has been great appreciation of hardworking Americans from the founding of our country. And that picture right there has always astonished me. I'm telling you, if you ever see that anywhere, it just, man, it captivates me that those guys are doing that as high up on the ground, from the ground, as they are. Well, the term the Protestant work ethic has been used by many historians to describe the work engine that from the earliest years of our country fueled our economic prosperity. Those early settlers in America, here's what they saw. Here's what they thought. They saw hard work and frugal living as spiritual expressions that honored God and glorified Him. And so that idea about work, that theology about work, was well suited to life on the new frontier, and it took hold across our land, and it is a part of our American heritage. And so as Christ followers today on this Labor Day weekend, I think it's a good thing to talk about the role of work in our everyday lives. Sometimes, you know, we just got to be reminded, what are we doing and why are we doing it? Many people regard work today as a mixed blessing. Hello, they would argue, they would, you know, agree with the little six-year-old boy who, after his first day of school, when his dad asked him, you know, how did it go, son? The little boy said, well, it's okay, but it sure does cut into your playing time. Those of us of working age, you know, those of us who get up and go to work, you know, most of us, my guess is, we don't debate whether we ought to get up and go to work most days. We're somewhat like the man who said, every morning I get up and I look through the Forbes list of the richest people in America, and if I'm still not on the list, I go ahead and go to work. For those of us of working age, it is a big part of our lives. And yet, even for retirees, there are all kinds of volunteer opportunities that I see retirees engaged in today. Many of them tell me, you know, now that I'm retired, I don't see how I ever had time to work everything that I've got going, you know, at this time in my life. Work is such a big part of our lives. So what does the Bible say about labor, about work? And what are some principles from the Scripture that can inform our everyday attitudes about work? Well, here are some things that I thought of. First of all, I would say this. The Bible is pro-work. Though some might think of work as drudgery or as punishment, it turns out that the Bible is pro-work. Who'd have thunk it? There is purpose in work that is God-given. We are creative, productive human beings designed to glorify God in the things that we do. Remember, work was not assigned to Adam as a punishment for sin. Human beings were put to work before they sinned. Genesis 2:15 tells us that. Says the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To work it. To work it. Oh, next slide. Here we go. Need that text. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Adam and later Eve were tasked with working the garden God had created, tending it, caring for it. Meaningful work has been part of our experience from the very beginning. After Adam and Eve sinned, then work became more difficult. Thorns and thistles frustrated Adam's farming. His work required more sweat and toil. But work itself is no punishment from sin. It's positive. It's good. Even the angels have things that they are doing while they're in heaven. Remember Paul's standing rule to the early churches as well. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Turns out the Bible is pro-work. Another principle from the Scripture that I would lift up on this Labor Day weekend is this. job satisfaction is a gift of God. Hello? A gift of God. I am amazed at the way God differentiates people and yet equips them for all kinds of work. When I go to the hospitals, I'm just amazed to see nurses caring in amazing ways for their patients. When I go to schools, I celebrate the way that God has, you know, gifted teachers and others to be working among students, among children, as I see construction workers out somewhere working on a project that can begin at first when there's just dirt there out on the ground, and then you see things start happening, and then there's something going up, and over time the thing just takes shape and it becomes a huge new structure, a huge new experience. And I marvel at all of the work that goes, skilled labor that makes that happen. In fact, I can't wait, you know, to go and check out the new gathering place. I know some have gotten to do that a little early, but I want to check it out. I'm hearing lots of amazing things. It's going to be a great landmark right here in Midtown Tulsa. We look forward to it. But here is the other side of it. We know that not everyone enjoys their work. In fact, job satisfaction surveys indicate that only 49% of workers, American workers today, would say that they are very satisfied in their job. Only 49%. 30% would say, I'm somewhat satisfied. So 49, 30, that's 79% of people who would say, I'm maybe somewhat satisfied. 9%, I'm dissatisfied. 6%, I am very dissatisfied. And of course, right now, about 7 million people in our country aren't included in these results because they are still looking for a job. So consider this. When you have a job, or when you have a volunteer thing that you're doing, that you enjoy doing, when it pays the bills, when it enables you to accumulate some things, when it enables you to experience some satisfaction, when you feel valued and happy in your work or whatever it is doing, count that as a blessing. Amen? Count that as a blessing, as a gift from God. That is exactly what the teacher from the book of Ecclesiastes says to us as he wrote these words in Ecclesiastes 5:19. When God gives any man or woman wealth and possessions and enables them to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a what? A gift of God. It's a gift. God wants us to enjoy our vocations. He wants you and I to enjoy what we're doing. If you are not satisfied in your job, if you're not happy with the work, the volunteer opportunities you have, you maybe ought to think about, well, what can I do differently? Is it because of your work conditions, or do you lack respect, you know, for your boss or management? Or do you doubt the company's products or maybe the nonprofit's mission? Or do you have basic incompatibility for the job itself? God may be urging you to look for something new, for something different, more in keeping with his gifts for you. The average American worker changes job about 7 times during his or her career. So don't quit your present job until you have another job. But maybe you, by all means, search. God wants you to look forward to going to work most mornings. And he wants you and I to feel fulfilled at the end of the workday, most workdays. A certain nurse, she was well-liked in a community because of her patience, her cheerfulness, her genuine concern for others. It was a small town. Her salary wasn't much. One day, one of the physicians in town said to her, you know, Joan, why don't you leave this little community and go where they'll pay you a decent salary? God knows you are worth it. And with a smile, she answered, well, if God knows that I'm worth it, that's all that matters. job satisfaction truly is a gift of God. Well, here's another principle. Another principle from the scriptures on this Labor Day weekend. I would lift this up. Our work is an advertisement for the Lord. For those of us of working age, our job is a big part, you know, of our everyday life. It's one of the biggest platforms that we have to practice our faith and to point others toward Christ. Do you see your work that way? Do others see Christ in us because of the way that we approach our work? That goes the same way for our volunteer efforts as well. Paul said this in his letter to the Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with what? All your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. So here's a question. Who are you working for? Hello? Who are you working for? As a Christ follower, your ultimate boss is the Lord. And so if you seek to glorify God in all you do, then that ought to show up in your work. People should not see you living for God on Sunday and then see you living like the devil through the rest of the week. Hello? Your work is an advertisement for God. It's an opportunity to live out your faith in the midst of the real world. So here's a question. What image of God do people identify with from your life? What image of God do people identify with from your life? They see you, they think of God, some part of God. I heard from someone recently who emailed me, and they wrote this note. They said, I'm signing up for that Bible study at your church because of a change that I've seen in the life of my coworker. They come to your church, and I've seen the change in them since they have made God a priority. I know God is the reason that they have found their way, and I want that in my life too. They wrote that. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Does your life point other people to Christ? Are people intrigued about God because what they see in you? What needs to be different in order for that to happen? Our work can be an advertisement for God. Another thing that I would lift up is this: our worth is based on who we are, not on what we do. It's based on who we are, not on what we do. Remember, we are first and foremost children of God, God's children, God's people. That's what John said in 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has what? Lavished on us that we should be called the what? Children of God. And that is what we are. As Christ followers, we are heirs of God. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a future inheritance, and we have the present promise of God's Holy Spirit. We are children of the King. Amen? And this new relationship, this gift of God, is made possible by grace. And so because of that, it's not what we have done, but it is all about what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Never forget this good news, this great passage from Ephesians 2:8. For it is by what? Grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a what? Gift of God. Because of God's grace made clear to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we recognize our intrinsic worth, our intrinsic value. We realize how important people are and how much they matter to God. We are so important. You are so important to God that He sent His Son into the world that you might know Him, that you might experience Him, that there might be an experience of salvation and grace to redeem us, to establish a relationship with us based on His love. And you know what? It is that love and that sacrifice on the cross that reminds us of our ultimate value to Him. That's why we remember from time to time what it meant that Christ died on that tree is love. So whether you are employed or not, whether you have a satisfying job or not, whether you have a great volunteer opportunity or not, you matter to God because of who you are, His child, not because of what you do. Sometimes newly retired person tell me that, you know, they've gone through a real identity crisis when they leave that job, which for all of those years provided them with a clear status and a sense of worth. But remember this, your rating on God's stock market did not drop one single digit when you retired. Not one. Amen? People can go through the same struggle if they've lost a job as well. You and I matter to God because of who we are as His child, not because of what we do. Sometimes I see mothers get depressed when the last child of the house leaves home. Now, of course, there are many mothers who they're having a party, man. Yeah, this is great. There are those who experience it in that way. But others who may struggle, and sometimes what they're really concerned about is their own self-worth, their own reason for being. And those persons need to be reminded that God values them just as highly now as when they had babies on their laps. When children are gone, parents can channel their energies into other things that God has in mind for them. It's a great time to get involved in some ministry in the church or something else that's going on in the community. So here's a question. What is the work that God has given you for this season in your life? And how do you approach your own work or your volunteering? What is your attitude? What is your perspective about it? For some, maybe your job, young people, your job is probably for this season, going to school. Going to school during the day, helping out as you can when you get home at night. Or maybe, you know, your job is to be the mother of small children. Or maybe your job is to be the mother or father of teenage children. Oh my goodness. Or working in the office or going out. And maybe your job is, hey, I'm in the office some and I go out into the field other times. Maybe you're a person whose job is to help people in need or maybe to supervise a team. Maybe your job is leading a company or leading a business or taking care of an aging parent. Or maybe it's a helping ministry or being there for a friend. What is the work that God has given you for this season in your life? How should you approach your work? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Does God really care about this part of your everyday life? Well, hear these words again from Paul to the letter, the Colossians 3:23, a little different translation. In all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people. Remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord, which He promised to His people. You are serving the Lord Christ. Work is an everyday part of our calling, whether you do it for pay or as a volunteer. And if you are happy in your work, if you're happy in what you are doing, consider that a wonderful gift from God. Amen? And if not, hey, ask God to lead you, to guide you to something that you would enjoy. And remember, the way you do your work is an advertisement for God. So do it well, with excellence, and let your attitude point others toward Christ. And remember this, you and I, we are more than laborers. We are children of the King of Kings. We are children of the living Lord, whose love for us does not drop one iota when we check out, when we clock out of work. I close with this. Whatever you do, do your work heartily for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about that together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, loving Lord, we thank you, yes, for the place that work, the labor of our hands, the use of our God-given skills and talents has in our everyday lives. Work is not intended to be a drudgery or a downer. Instead, it can be an opportunity, yes, to glorify you and to bless others. Lord, if we are happy and fulfilled in our work, what a gift from you, God, that is. Help us to be thankful. And if we're not satisfied in our current work or the volunteer tasks that we have, lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. Lord, show us fresh ways that our work can be an advertisement for you. Give us your vision, your perspective on what we're doing. Sometimes, Lord, we just have to be reminded what we're doing and why we're doing it. And Lord, we remember that you love us. You love us because of who we are. We are your children, not because of what we do. And may we do all that we do heartily for you. It's in Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said,